says you'll never die. You see, Christians don't have to be afraid of death. The only thing that's going to die is this body, and we get a new one that's better. That's not a bad deal. We're going to have a little trade in, and we're going to trade up. You understand what I'm saying? It's a trade in to trade up, and that's not a bad thing. And so we need to keep that in mind, and we're going to get into the Word this morning. Once you turn to Hebrews 11:6. And we've looked at this scripture many times, but you need to underline this in your Bible. Put it on the refrigerator, whatever you do. But this is so important, and we have to remember this all the time. And it says very simply, Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith, it's impossible to please Him," meaning God, "for he that comes to God must believe that He is, and He is rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." You have to keep on believing every single day. It's not believing one time. It's keep on believing that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Now, the way you're going to stay strong in the Lord, and it's possible to stay strong in the Lord in this life, because we're moving towards that eternal presence with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to continually be drawing nearer to Him. Keep coming closer. Keep pulling toward Him. And that's our choice to make. You have to make that choice every day. Now you have to understand that once you are born again, God will never change towards you. Are you listening? God never changes. When He says something, He never changes His mind. So what that means is we always have this idea, God changing mind, God pulls away from us, and all that kind of thing, and it's not true. God never leaves us or forsakes it. So what happens is that we, in our thoughts, our actions, pull away from Him. Doesn't mean we're lost. It just means we're not following Him, and then we can be like anybody else in this world if we pull away from God. God is always a blessing. God is always anointing. God is always pouring out. God is always giving His gifts. God is always healing. God is always delivering. He's like the sun. It shines all the time, whether you see it or not. Are you listening to me? The things that stop it from seeing the sun are the clouds. But the sun's still shining. God never turns the light out. You see, He's always sending out. And what we have to do is keep on receiving, whether we're up, down, or whatever's going on a good day, bad day, whatever. But if we're involved in sin, unbelief, distractions, unforgiveness, it will cloud over so we don't see the brightness of God, but it's still there, you see. And so we have to realize it's still there. We can always go back to it. We can always come into the presence of God. It doesn't make any difference what day it is, what hour it is. We can always come into the presence of God. It's our choice, you see. And I'm going to show you how to do that this morning, even when things aren't going so well in our eyes. We change, He doesn't change. Now, so the problem's not God. The problem's us. We keep asking for revival, but all we have to do is enter into the revival that's going on all the time. Are you listening to me? You see, that's the issue. We say, God send revival, God send revival. God's always sending revival. But we have to tune into it. We have to get into it. We have to walk into it. We have to take this into our life. I want you to look in Romans chapter 1. And Romans chapter 1 is good stuff, that's a fact. And chapter 1 gets right to the program. Romans is probably, in the as far as doctrine is concerned, is probably the number one book in the New Testament. But let's go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Now, Paul said something here that we need to say on a daily basis. He said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. But really what it says is, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that keeps on believing. Keeps on believing. That's what it means to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That means every single day, not just on Sunday. It means every single day. What you hear today should work during the week, you understand. I'm trying to give you basic information that'll help you tomorrow and the next day and so forth. Very simply, let's look quickly also, Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. I want you to see something here that was very interesting, I think. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And this was an announcement that was made at the birth of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. It says, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, watching over their flock by night, and lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them. Glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were very much afraid. And the angel said unto them, this is what we want to get to, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. He said, I bring you good tidings. Really what that says is, I'm going to bring you such good tidings, it's going to be hard for you to believe it. This is going to be something beyond your imagination. This is going to be something beyond you could ever imagine for yourself. This is going to be good tidings. It's going to be good news. It's going to be actually almost too good to be true. You know, somebody always said, well, you know, if it's too good to be true, it's probably not. But in this case, it is. What he was saying was, you couldn't even if in your wildest imagination believe the good news that's going to come through this baby that's going to be born in Bethlehem, you see. Because it's freedom is what he's going to say. You're going to be free not only now but for eternity. And so that's extremely interesting, I think. Look in Revelation 14 and verse 6. We're going to look several scriptures today, but I think it's important because that's where faith comes from, is the Word of God. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 6. And this says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel. Now, the gospel means good news, but it means good news you could never imagine in your life. It's beyond anything you could imagine. He said, he's having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment's come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and sea and the fountains of water and so on. But the issue is here that God has given us something that we have a tendency to water down. We have a tendency to believe part of it. We have a tendency as Christians just to take as much as we dare to take. But if you really understood what the good news was, I don't care how old you are, you'd be dancing around this place. If we really understood this good news, that's a fact. Because it's something that's way beyond this life. It's something beyond anything you learned in school. It's something beyond anything you learned in college if you went to it. It is something that is so amazing that not all Christians grasp what God is saying. And we're going to try to do that this morning. Now, salvation is by grace through faith It is believing, trusting, grabbing a hold of, and never letting go what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Now, you know the ones that oppose this? It's the people that believe you're saved by works. They oppose this as strongly as anything you could possibly imagine. And I'm going to tell you, if you could have been saved by works, Christ could have stayed in heaven. Mm-hmm. Are you listening to me? It had to be by His works, that's the point. Not ours, it's His works that brings us salvation. All we do is receive it. But when we receive it, then we're to work it out in this life. It's not just receiving it and sitting there till Jesus comes. It's working out this salvation in your life. Paul said, work out your own salvation. So there are works, but when you're saved, then there's works, you see. Now, God's love is absolutely unconditional. He said, whosoever will may come. There's no such thing as being unworthy if you come to Jesus. He'll take away the unworthiness. He'll take away the guilt. He'll take away the shame. And all of those things because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, hell is a bad place, but people go there by their own choice. Are you listening to me? God doesn't send anybody to hell. He doesn't have to. People choose to go there on their own. But you also choose, you have the alternative of choosing Jesus Christ and being with Him forever. And you say, how in the world could people choose the other way? Well, because they're clouded by the things of life, you see. The Bible really says that the goodness of God leads to repentance. The goodness of God leads to repentance. Look in Romans again, chapter 2, and we're going to probably be there most of the time, 1 and 2. But look in Romans, chapter 2, and verse 4. It says, despisest thou the riches of His goodness, and forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? That's what it says right there. People are led to repentance by the goodness of God. I remember the night I got saved. I didn't realize what was going on totally, but I looked in the front of there, and I'm going to tell you, I saw Jesus. It was the goodness of Christ brought me to repentance. I knew I was bad. I didn't have any problem with that. I knew that. Everybody knows where they're at, if they're really honest. But the issue is that God's goodness leads to repentance. Now, the good news is God loves you because He's good. And therefore He loves you. He's provided all you need. All you have to do is believe and receive. Now, let's look in Romans chapter 1, verse 18. We're going to get into this. Now, right in these verses that we're going to be reading are the four keys to staying strong in the Lord. Now, we need these, but we're going to start out with, for the wrath of God, verse 18, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, God's upset with a few folks, but you know who He's upset with? He's upset with those that know what the truth is and refuse to receive it. Those are the ones the wrath of God is on. Those that know the truth and refuse to receive it. Now, it makes that very, very clear. People know in their heart that they're not right with God. That's why most people that are not Christians are afraid to die. They are afraid to die because they know that they are not receiving the truth. people know that. They know there's a God, and they refuse to come to Him. God has put that in every person. The Word of God says so. Every person has a revelation that God exists. Every single one. No one will ever be able to stand before God and say, I never knew you existed. No one will ever be able to do that. Now, hold your finger there in Romans because we're going to come back. Go to Psalm 46:10. Psalm 46. And we're going to look here for just a second. Psalm 46 and verse 10. And it says, be still and know that I am God. Now I want you to see this very carefully because even Christians mess this up. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Now, what that says is, if you will be still for a little while, you're going to know there's a God. So what do people do? They're very careful not to be still. They fill their lives with busyness and everything imaginable so they won't have to think about whether there's a God or not. That's what that says. And that's what they do. There's a little voice inside of you. If you really took time and meditated on the fact of whether there's a God or not, there's a voice inside of you that would say, you know what you're doing isn't right. There's a little voice that say, you know you shouldn't be living that way. There has to be more life than this. That's what that little voice says. Where did I come from? Where am I going? Who created me? Now, I remember one time when I was about 25 years old, I was outside by myself at night. It was a beautiful night, and there were stars all over. And I looked up at those stars, and I was not a Christian. And I just looked up those stars, and I said, I wonder if there's a God. This was before I was saved. I looked up at those stars, and I remember that. God, and when I got saved, God took me back to that. And He showed me that He was trying to get my attention right there that night when I was 25. I said, I wonder if there's a God, and God answered that when I was 33 years old on a Sunday night in February in 1970. Now, what people do, they don't want to hear that voice, they don't want to hear that little voice within sight of them because everybody has it. I don't care who it is or where they're at. Everybody has this because God has put it in every single person He has created. Now, in order to drown this out, we fill our life with all kinds of relationships, television, movies, sports, clubs, to go to, even religion in churches. Are you listening to me? Religion is designed to cloud over the things of God because religion says if you'll just be a good person and do good works, you're going to go to heaven. That's what religion says. That is not Christianity. Christianity says you can't do good works without the good one, and His name is Jesus. Do I hear an amen? Now, I'm going to get to where I'm going here. I have a plan. But religion is very simply, people tell you can get to every way to heaven but receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you can be in church for years and be lost. In fact, most denominations will teach something in place of receiving the Lord personally as your Savior. You know somebody's religious, been in church for years, you ask them, have you ever received Jesus Christ as your Savior? They don't even know what you're talking about. What in the world have they been teaching in that place? It hasn't been the same Bible we have, you see, and I'm not putting them down. It's a sad thing. you see. I was the same way. Now, you just have to look at the stars and you have to say, my goodness, there's a God. My goodness, there's a God. Now, if you start investigating and finding out that every star's in place, every star's been named by God, if one star was out of place, it would affect the earth. Because everything God created, we've been talking about on Wednesday night, was for planet earth. And why was planet earth? To put you on it. So God could have a family. That was it. Now, we're going to look in Romans chapter 1. I'll read 19, because this is how you know there's a God. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. That's why I'm talking about the still voice. If you're quiet, God will speak to you, even lost people, that he is alive. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they were without excuse. If you don't listen to that small voice, all you have to do is look at nature and realize there's a God. You see. All the various things about all the animals and the plants and the trees and all of this, you realize somebody designed this thing. Now, let's look in verse 21. 21 to 23 are some of the most interesting verses in the entire Bible. I want you to look at these. Because when they knew God, when they knew there was a God, through nature, through the small voice, through preaching, through whatever, because they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You ever heard of an educated fool? We got a bunch of them teaching our kids. It's a sad thing. We better be teaching the truth at home. Are you listening to me? Okay. Now, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God. They changed their image of God. They changed their perception of God. They changed what they wanted God to be, if I can say that, into an image made like corruptible man and birds, four-footed beast, and creeping things. You say, how can any intelligent person do that? The leader of the most powerful nation in the world at the time of Moses worshipped frogs. Now, we're going to look at some of the steps here, and I want to be very careful with this because I want you to understand it. Now, there's something very interesting here, and I'm going to start backwards here. Look in verse 23, and I've talked about this before, but it just fascinates me. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, birds, four-footed beast, and creeping things. I'm going to tell you that's four categories of what people can do that do not want to hear God. And here's what they are. Images made like man is worship of man. It's humanism. It's thinking man is everything. Man can change the world. Man can change this world. We can make things better. We're just doing a great job. Read the newspaper. Birds is talking about the occult and the New Age movement and all things, seances and all that kind of nonsense. Four-footed beast is worshiping power and money. You ever heard anybody worship power and money? And creeping things are every kind of addiction you can think of, including sexual sins and drugs alcoholism, etc. It's all demonic. You have to understand, when you turn from God, you turn to a lost, dark, demonic, demon-controlled world. And that's why people can kill people by cutting their heads off, using their heads for soccer balls, which they're doing over in the Middle East. You say, how in the world can people do things like that? Because they've turned from the living God who had the good news through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the issue, you see. Now, we'll go back. I'm going to talk about these four steps. And now with these four steps, you can either draw near to God or you can draw away from God, either way, depending on how you use them. And everybody does this on a continuous basis, either drawing to God or drawing away from the Lord. Now, if the joy of the Lord, the love of the Lord is not strong, then you can take these steps in the wrong way. And that's what we have to be careful about. Now, you ever hear these people, I'm not making fun of anybody, but you pray for them and they've got some illness and you pray for them and they feel pretty good at the time and they haven't gone 10 steps out the door and they say, well, that was pretty nice, but the last time I was prayed for, I wasn't healed either. Guess what's going to happen? They're not going to be healed. It happens constantly. I prayed for somebody the other day. And we prayed, and man, I thought this is pretty good here. And they said, well, when I went to the doctor the last time, he said that I was probably just going to deteriorate. I might as well stayed home and saved the gasoline. You understand what I'm saying? I can't imagine. You see, God said, if you're a Christian, you live in eternity.
That's right.
And in the eternity of God, there's healing, blessing, deliverance, and those things. So it doesn't make any difference what it looks like. It's what God says about it. Are you listening to me? That's the way the kingdom of God works. We're living in eternity now. We're not waiting for it. We're living in it now spiritually and will be in it physically. That's what the Word of God says. So we ought to start living like King's kids now.
That's right.
Not waiting. We need to live like that now. Believe God that He wants to bless you. He wants to heal you. He wants to do these things. And you keep on saying it. I don't care what it looks like. You keep on saying it. And you keep on saying it. You know what happens? One day you wake up, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. You don't give up. That's what faith is. Faith keeps saying the Word of God regardless of what it looks like. You see. You say, well, you know, I don't look like I'm saved, but God says I'm saved, so I'm saved.
Get on it, brother.
You know. And I always act like I'm saved, but God says He never changes His mind. And when I was born again, it was forever. That's what the Word of God says. It's not for 5 minutes. It's not till I mess up. You know, God is, He loves mess ups because He is the expert cleaner up. Are you listening to me? That's what 1 John 1:9 is all about. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I said He's faithful.
That's right.
You see. If it wasn't for the faith of God, that's what we operate on, not our faith, His faith.
Right.
Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, and the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He wasn't living by his own.
Right.
It's a faith that comes from God that lasts forever, you see. And so we have to understand what the Word of God says. Now, now, I'm going to talk about these four things because we're going to have the Lord's Supper and I don't want to go too long. But anyway, The four things are in Romans 1, 21. They're right there. And this will either, if you do this in a negative way, it's going to open the door to demonic activity. I don't care if you're a Christian or what you are. I didn't say you're lost. I said you open the door to demonic activity. What'd they do here? Number one, because they knew God. They knew there was a God. They did not glorify Him. They did not honor Him. They did not give Him first place in their life. That's what it says. Okay? That's how they fell into all these birds and creeping things and the occult and all this other junk. It's because they went downhill from God. You see, they had a chance to come to God, but they didn't honor Him as God. They didn't receive Christ. They didn't do any of those things. And so that's number one. This is how you step away from God. Then I'm going to talk about how you step to God. Okay? First is going to be step away. Negative first. God always said the night comes before the morning. Are you listening? So we're going to do the negative first. Then we're going to go to the morning. Hallelujah. All right. They glorified Him not as God. They didn't honor Him. They didn't give Him the honor He was due. They didn't even honor Him as the Creator. They counted Him as nothing. And they threw Him on an old rugged cross.
That's right.
You see. They didn't honor Him. They dishonored Him. Number two. Neither were they thankful. They weren't thankful for what God did for them. They weren't thankful for the nature. They weren't thankful for all the things that God provided. They weren't thankful for the food. They weren't thankful for their families. They weren't thankful for anything. They were not thankful. Another step down. The next thing it says, they were vain in their imaginations. Everything that was in their mind, everything they were imagining, it was all darkness, it was all death, it was all negative, it was all the mess of this world, it was all if it feels good, do it type stuff, and it was all that kind of thing. Everything to satisfy them, the world revolved around them. There's nobody like that today, is there? The world revolved around them. Didn't revolve around God, it revolved around them. And that's another step down. One more step. The fourth thing, verse 21. Their foolish heart was darkened. There's a fourth step that if a person goes to it without receiving Christ, the bottom falls out and they go into eternal hell. They cannot come to God. I've seen too many people on their deathbed didn't want to hear anything about Jesus. Why in the world? They'd gone to that fourth step. It was all over. They couldn't come to God. Jesus could have been standing there and they wouldn't have come to Him. They could not come to God. They had so filled their mind and their heart with the ungodly things of this world, their heart became dark, and they were done. Wasted life, absolutely correct. Absolute waste of life. Now the good news. Hallelujah. How do you stay close to God? How do you keep revved up in Jesus' name? In the ups and downs of this world, because there are ups and downs, amen? I mean, it's not always up, you know. It's not always up. There's down things. But the down things are even designed to make us stronger in the Lord.
Amen.
That's the beauty of it. Gracie got a big long list. He's praying for these people, but I sometimes wonder how many of them gone to step four. But we don't give up. We keep on praying because as long as they're breathing, there's a chance. God hasn't given up. I always say they have to crawl over Jesus to get to hell. And that's truth. And a lot of people do it. Can you imagine them standing before the Lord after they've died and they're standing before the Lord at the throne of God? Can you imagine such a thing? You know what they're going to say? Absolutely nothing. There won't be anything to say. Okay, now the good news. How do you stay close to God? Every day, every day, every day until we're with Christ. We go right back to the same verse. Verse 21. Because they knew Christ as their Savior, I'm changing it a little. They glorified God. They honored the Father. They honored the Lord Jesus Christ. They invited the Holy Spirit in their life on a daily basis. They called out to the angels of God and say, protect me when I'm out in my automobile. God is number one. He is being honored in their life. I'm telling you how to take the land, stay up for God. Honor Him, put Him number one. You put you number one, you're back there with honoring man instead of God, you see. And so you're going to glorify God. You're grateful for who He is. You're going to sing praises to Him. You know, I understand people that don't sing or can't sing, they think, and why they just not too excited about the worship time. But I'm going to tell you this. You can say the words. You can hum. You can whistle. You can do something to honor God while the worship's going on. Do I hear an amen? You see. And even if you don't sing good, sing bad for Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. It all sounds good to Him. Are you listening? Make a joyful noise before the Lord. Isn't that what the Word of God says? That's why I don't mind singing. Okay. Then, number two. Always be thankful, always be thankful, always be thankful. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me. Thank you, Lord, I'm breathing. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've given me. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that I have transportation. Thank you, Lord, regardless of what it is, what it looks like, I have it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I was born into this earth. Thank you, Lord. There was a time that you drew me to Christ, and I was saved because you loved me before I ever loved you. And so I'll always be thankful to you in the name of Jesus. Don't you feel like you're stepping up? Hallelujah. We're stepping up. We're going higher. In the name of Jesus. And that's what we're supposed to do every day. In spite of everything. In fact, in the face of everything. Look that demon in the eye and say, I'm thankful to Jesus Christ for who I am. You see. That's number two. We're going up. Hallelujah. What was that thing? We're going up to the east side. It was in the whatever. Only we're going a lot further than the east side this time. Hallelujah. The Jeffersons, that's what it was. Okay, now, number four. This is so important. Oh, three? Well, number three. I'm looking at three and said four. I don't know. I guess I'm in a hurry to get there. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, I'm going up. That's right. Recognize the power of your imagination. See yourself stepping up. See yourself moving towards Jesus. See yourself standing before the throne of God. See yourself as a child of God every single day. See yourself with the gifting of God. And you can be blessed where you're at and where God's put you and the gifts He's given you. And you can use those gifts. And I'll tell you one thing, if you do this, your life will never be wasted.
Amen.
You're going to get rewards in heaven. Paul didn't hesitate to say, I'm going for the reward, man. I'm going for the whole thing. I'm going for the prize. I'm going for the top prize, not just the bottom one. I'm going for the top one. And it wasn't because he was this great prophet. It's because he was doing what God called him to do. And he saw himself, even in jail, he saw himself preaching the Word of God, writing books of the Bible. He saw what God had done in his life. Our imagination is to expand in Jesus Christ and see what He can do in this life and the next. Hallelujah. You see, that's number three. Got it right that time, buddy. And four. Number four, have a good heart. Have a godly heart full of the Word of God. There's no excuse to be out of the Word of God. There's no excuse not to be in the Word of God. No excuse not to hear the Word of God preach. You know what I'd tell somebody just got saved? Get into that church every time the door opened. Get your Bible open and learn something.
Okay.
Are you listening to me? Somebody says, well, you mean I have to go to church three times a week? You got to be kidding. I'm getting ready for the kingdom. Hallelujah. I'm getting ready for eternity. I'm getting ready to stand before Jesus. What's 3-4 hours a week? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, my goodness. I'm just saying that's what I'd tell somebody who didn't know anything, just got saved, whatever it is. Or they've been in a mess and God just pulled them out of it. I'd say you listen to God on TV, you listen to God on the radio, you read your Bible, you get in church, you get busy with the things of God. Who's number one here? What does the world revolve around? You see. And that's what this is. There's a whole lot of things about the Lord's Supper. We're going to take the Lord's Supper in a couple of minutes, and I'll just tell you this now. Won't wait till later. I'm going to tell you this right now. You'll be healthier. You'll be wiser. You will be, your finances will be blessed more. You will be blessed more. Your family will be blessed more if you never miss the Lord's Supper. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm telling you what the Bible says. This is important. I don't miss it. I wouldn't want to miss it myself. You understand? And some people just take that, oh, well, they're having the Lord's Supper. I don't know. Maybe I'll go or not. You know, you have no clue. The Lord's Supper is such a spiritual blessing that will make you strong in this world, preparing for the next one. Are you listening to me? Now, I don't go as far to believe that the bread and the wine turn into Christ and His blood, but I'm going to tell you this, spiritually, there's a whole lot more going on than you and I could possibly imagine. There's a blessing in the Lord's Supper. Never, never, never miss taking the Lord's Supper. There's always somebody running around out there, well, this Christianity doesn't work. Well, when's the last time you took the Lord's Supper? When's the last time you've been in your Bible on a daily basis? This Christianity works.
That's right.
You see? It works. You have to follow what God says, and then it works. We're going to glorify God. We're going to honor Him on a daily basis. We're going to be thankful. There's always somebody unthankful about anything or everything. And they're miserable. And they'd be the first one to say, well, this Christian life doesn't work. Well, what's coming out of your mouth? What comes out of your mouth is who you are.
That's right.
Ooh, something to offend everybody today, isn't it something? Hallelujah. All right. Now, the point is, you can be saved, but you can walk away from the things of God. I didn't say you were lost.
That's right.
There were people that died in the middle of the wilderness, never got to the promised land, never got to what God wanted them to do in this life. They just never got there. Why? They weren't honoring God. They weren't thankful to God. They weren't using their imagination in the things of God. They weren't filling their mind with good things. They were watching too much garbage, filling their mind with everything imaginable but Jesus Christ. How much damage to you do you think it would do if you filled your mind every chance you had every day with Christ? How much damage is that going to do to your life? Well, people act like that. I went to church Sunday morning. And the angel said, big deal. God wants you to do His plan for your life, not yours.
That's right.
He wants you to be a witness for Him wherever you're at. You don't turn it on in church and turn it off when you go out the door. You know what I'm saying? Now, you know, if Christians had done what we talked about this morning, this world wouldn't be in the mess it's in. And our nation wouldn't be in the mess it's in. I'm telling you right now. This mess on Wall Street and every place else is to get our attention. Christians' attention. God will give you gifts right now to be used in what He wants you to do. Are you listening to me? So the issue today is, first you have to come to Christ. You can't put one foot out there and say, I'll give you this part, and have the other foot back here someplace. You put them both here and take your chances with God. I said, take your chances with God. That's what I'm doing. You see? Why in the hell's world would I be up here if I wasn't taking chance with God? I just jumped in. He said, call me a preacher. I said, you got to be kidding, God. And everybody that knew me said it louder than I did. But the issue is, God can do anything in a life that can be a total mess if you will honor Him, if you'll be thankful to Him, if you'll fill your mind and imagination with Him, you see. That's what I'm saying. And you take the Word of God in, and you will be successful in this world. I said, you will be successful in this world. Let's stand before the Lord.